Scripture reading this morning will be from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You may be seated.
What an honor it is to stand before you this morning, and I'm grateful that you're here to worship God and that we can lift up our voices together and pray and sing and partake at the same table together, remembering our Lord's death, and we're thankful that we have this opportunity. Now it's our turn to turn to God's Word and listen to His Word, and let's invite you to turn to James chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I want to set forth an illustration. Imagine that James was walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and this man comes up and he says, James, I'd like to talk to you for a little bit. James says, well, why don't we go down to the local coffee shop and let's get some coffee and let's sit and talk a little bit. So James and the person we'll call his opponent go down and they sit down in this local shop, and they're going to have a religious discussion. And what's interesting about this religious discussion, just as my story, combined ancient people, James, the Lord's brother, and a coffee shop, something we have today. So the story of James that we're going to study in James chapter 2 is like that. It's an ancient text that really is as relevant and as contemporary as a coffee shop. You can go and have this discussion, and people are going to have these discussions over work this next week. And it's still a hotly discussed religious topic that James and his opponent are going to talk about. In James chapter 2, he kind of sets forth this passage like that. And I want to kind of go back and forth, saying what the opponent said, and then hearing what James says. And so let's begin with what James says, or his opponent says, in chapter 2, verse 14. James' opponent says in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? James' opponent is going to begin by saying, all you need is faith. All it takes is faith. What he means by that is, you don't have a lot of works and a lot of activity. All it is about your mind and your belief in God and in Christ. All you need to be saved, all you need to be right with God and have an acceptable life before God is faith. Many people in our world today, many people throughout history have said all you need is faith. And it's certainly true that we're saved by faith. Paul makes that clear in the book of Romans and also in the book of Galatians. But Paul is talking about an active, obedient faith. The opponent here is simply talking about all you need to do is believe in God, believe in Christ. Well, let's see what James says to that. James is going to reply to this opponent who says all you need is faith in verse number 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Notice James replies to this opponent who says, all you need is faith, as they're talking about this. James replies with, wait a minute. I want you to know that words are not enough. But if you simply have a belief and you simply talk about a verbal faith, James says that's not enough. Let me illustrate that. If someone, a brother or sister, James says, is lacking in food, someone comes to you and they're hungry. They say, look, I haven't eaten in 2 days. I'm starving. and you say, I got what you need. Here's what you need to do. I'm going to lay my hands upon you. I'm going to say, be warmed and be filled. Now go. Take care of yourself. Obviously, the person is still hungry. I didn't do anything to help them. James says words are not enough. I can have faith, but I need to allow my faith to influence me to act, to do deeds. So James says, obviously in this passage, he's implying that really if I'm going to help out that person, I've got to give them some food. It takes more than just words. In fact, James will say, in response to this idea, that not only are words not enough, but mental belief is not enough. But it's not enough just to have mental belief, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them things needed for their body. So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Mental belief is not simply enough. So James is emphasizing the idea that faith without works is useless. Just like someone who tells someone, go warm to be filled, it's useless. It doesn't help them out. It didn't buy them a meal. It didn't give them any food. So in answer to his opponent's charge that all you need is faith, James simply says, mental belief is not enough. We need to have works. We need to allow our life to be demonstrated by the deeds we do. Well, the opponent then will turn around and verse number 18, and he says this, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, James will reply. Notice this someone, this opponent, he says, well, let me take the opposite perspective. You said that the idea of all you need is faith, you kind of combated that one. So, James, let me tell you this. Really all that matters is works. That you can do good works and you can do all kinds of good things. Be a good moral person who does a lot of good things, and that's all you really need. Now, it is true that people can do a lot of good things without faith, can't they? In fact, you can find people, sadly it's getting more common, in our country, especially in other places as well, and we have a significant large amount of them in our country now who are, quote, atheists. They do not believe in God. But you can have an atheist who is your neighbor, and they can be a good neighbor. In fact, if you're going to be gone for little days, they'll take care of your dog, go over and feed it. They may get your mail. They may look after your house. And you can even trust them because you may have been their neighbor for years, and they may be a very good person. They may volunteer their time at the hospital. They may help out at the local humane shelter. They may do all kinds of things. They can do a lot of good works and not have any faith. The opponent says, look, James, you're talking about you got to have faith in works. Let me tell you something. You don't have to have faith. You can just have works. I want you to hear what James replies to that answer, to that question. He says, you're not understanding Christian works. He responds with this in verse number 18. Show me your faith apart or separate from your works. In other words, you may show me that separate, but I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. James says, from a Christian perspective, the kind of works we're talking about here is works that are inspired by faith. Let me illustrate that by thinking about an electric motor. I can have an electric motor that might do a lot of things. For example, I might have a blow dryer that's going to blow dry my hair. But I can stand there and hold it down a long time, and it's not going to blow my hair any until I plug that blow dryer in to the electric current, right? It is going to require being connected to a source, which is then going to empower it to blow dry my hair, to give off the energy. Well, that's what James is basically saying about the Christian. is that we are connected to a source of God, a source of our faith that inspires us to do good works. And that our works are done with a spirit of gratitude, a heart of love that is far different than those who just do them because it's the right or good thing to do. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that our faith is working through love. That's what our faith is. When you think about this concept, James is really saying for the Christian, the work comes from the heart of gratitude and love. We are motivated to do works not simply as a way of helping out a human worldly cause, but the works James is talking about are works done because God has loved us. Therefore, we love others. We've been loved by God. Therefore, we love others. I think it's interesting to note how whenever we have a crisis, for example, the Ebola crisis, the people who were the frontline soldiers in that crisis were medical workers who were there serving, doctors and nurses, not because they were atheists just wanting to do a good deed, but they were there because they represented Christ. And you'll find that generally the case, that most people who are doing dangerous work, very humiliating, suffering type work, are there. Why? Not just simply for a warm feeling it gives them inside to do it, but they're there because they feel called by God to serve others and to step into a situation of suffering, of helping the oppressed, the poor, and the needy. Why are they there? Because of their faith. James says there's a tremendous difference in people who just do works out there and do good things for people versus people who do works because of their faith. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, you can see my faith because my faith is going to do works from a heart of love, a heart of gratitude, a heart of service that motivates me, that kind of plugs me into a source of God that then empowers me to serve others. James says to his opponent, when he says all you need is works, no, if you're really going to make a difference in this world, if you're really going to get what we're talking about here, this is faith that inspires works. It's different than just doing good works for the sake of good works. And so the opponent then says, all right, you kind of got me on those two things. You said, you know, all you need is faith, and you had a response. Faith is just words and mental assent, and that's not good. And I said, all you need is works, and you kind of combated that by saying that there's a difference in just doing good works, that faith inspires works. So now the opponent says, all right, I'm trying to follow you on this. Can you show me in the Bible? Can you show me in historical examples where this is the case? And James says to his opponent in verse number 20, do you want to be shown, O foolish person? You see, that's the opponent that he's talking to, this kind of imaginary opponent that he's set up in this discourse. Do you want me to show you, O foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? It's a question. Do you want me to show you that faith apart from works is useless? And obviously, the answer is, yeah, I want you to show me. I'm from the state of Missouri. I'm a show me state guy. I want you to show me. I don't know if I believe you, James, that faith apart from works is useless. And so he says, James says, let me show you some faith like this in the Bible. And so he goes to the premier example of faith in the Bible. And let's just suppose that James is walking through those streets of Jerusalem, and he takes this person to the coffee shop, and whoever he takes, let's just assume it was a, for the sake of our illustration and story, it was a good Jewish man. The best example he could use, and his audience that's reading this later on, the best example he could use would be Abraham. Abraham was the pinnacle of faith. He was the father of the nation. He was the hero of heroes to the Jewish people. And so he says, yeah, you want to talk about faith like this? I'll tell you faith like this. It's shown in Abraham. And he says, you remember Abraham? And of course, any Jewish person and most all Gentile people would know Abraham. And he says, you remember Abraham? In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says that God gave him righteousness because of his faith. That he was made righteous, not because of his earning it or deserving it or anything he did, but because of his faith. Genesis 15, 6. But let's talk about what kind of faith Abraham had. You remember that promised son, Isaac, who was to be the father of the entire nation, the descendant of Abraham, when he was a young man, Genesis chapter 22, God told Abraham, take that promised son, your only unique or begotten son, and take him up and offer him up on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice to me. And so Abraham says, son, let's go on a journey. And he takes wood, and he takes a donkey, and he takes Isaac. And they go on a three-day journey up to the place that God had appointed. When he's on this journey, Isaac will ask him, father, here's the wood for the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham will reply, God will provide. God will provide the sacrifice. And they go up, and you know the story. He lays Isaac out upon the altar, and he takes back the knife, and he's about to do the deed. And the angel stops him from doing such. The book of Hebrews talks and says that Abraham believed that God would raise him back from the dead, talking about Isaac. That's how much faith he had. He trusted in God that much that he would kill his son as an act of obedience. And there was a ram caught in the thicket, and he offers that ram as a sacrifice. Abraham did many other things. When God called him to leave the land of Ur, he left that land and followed God as he had commanded. He did numerous things as of obedience unto God. Paul, in the book of Romans, would describe the faith of Abraham. He describes it in detail about how he was a man who illustrates for us the kind of faith we should have. He says in verse 2 of chapter 4 of Romans, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was righteous because of his faith. Well, what kind of faith did Abraham have? Well, Paul will go on and talk about the kind of faith that Abraham had. And that he trusted in God, believing that God would bring from him the promised nation, even though, remember, it took God 25 years from the time he promised that to eventually bring it about in Sarah, his wife, the promised son of Isaac. Abraham struggled. He doubted at times, but he always kept his faith in God, even when it was difficult. Abraham obeyed God. What kind of faith did Abraham have? Was it just a faith of mental assent, of words? No. It was a faith of obedience, a faith of trusting in God. God, wherever you call me to go, I will go. God, whatever you ask me to do, even though if I don't understand it, like offering my son, I will do it. Abraham obeyed. Well, the opponent says, you got me on that one. I mean, Abraham's awesome. I can't really say much about Abraham. That is the kind of faith that we should have. But I tell you, Abraham's, he's special. He's not like the rest of us. I mean, he's the premier example. the rest of us, you can't really expect us to have a faith like that, can you? I mean, that's one example, but what about the rest of us? We're just average people. Can't we just have faith that really doesn't do anything, that really doesn't have any active obedience? Or can't we just do good works without any faith? I don't think it's still the thing you're arguing for, James. And so then James says, let me illustrate by another person, Rahab. So James then says in chapter 2, after using Abraham as an example, and how Abraham believed God, verse 23, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God, and you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. But then he turns and he uses the most unlikely of characters, the complete opposite of Abraham. He says, in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Now, if we want to talk about opposites, we have opposites. Abraham, father of the Jewish nation, a male, a very righteous person, very well-known person, the one who is extolled for his righteousness and his great deeds. And then we go over and we have Rahab. She was a Gentile. She was a woman. She was a prostitute. She was living in the city of Jericho. And the Israelites are coming in to conquer the land of Canaan. And she has heard about the Israelites. And in Joshua chapter 2, she will hide these spies. And in verses 9 through 11, she tells them why she is hiding them. It is because I know the Lord has given you the land. She even goes on and describes her faith in God and what God has done. She says at the end of that passage, verse 11, as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God on heavens above and on earth beneath. She did not know all about God, but she knew enough to have faith in Him. And James says her faith in God caused her to hide the spies, to put her trust in God, and to obey Him. We find out later on when Joshua and the children of Israel come in to destroy Jericho that she hangs the scarlet cord out just as God, as the spies had instructed by the will of God. She shuts her door. She gets her family in her house just as they commanded. And her family is spared because of her faith and her obedience. James says, you're right. Not everybody's Abraham. There's going to be some Gentile women who are prostitutes. But they can be saved by the same kind of faith. A faith that is not simply mental or words oriented. A faith that is not just, hey, look at everything I've done. I've been a great moral person, but I really don't have any faith in God. No, a faith that is an active, obedient faith that trusts in God. And so what James has said, he said that an acceptable faith is an obedient faith. It's trusting faith that's filled with works of love. And so as we think about James, and we think about this passage, James chapter 2, the opponent has tried to say faith and works are separate. And that's what often our world wants to say. Our world wants to say, hey, you keep your faith to yourself and you keep your good deeds to yourself, and as long as you're a good moral person, that's fine. Or they want to say that, you know, as long as you have a belief, as long as you have a trust in God, that's fine, you're going to go to heaven. Don't worry about what you do in this life. And James says something right opposite of that. He says faith and works cannot be separated. Let that soak in. You cannot separate and be acceptable with God is the idea. What you do and what you believe. that if you have a belief, but it doesn't impact what you do, and it's not the kind of faith God talks about. And if you have a lot of good actions, but you don't have a faith that trusts in God, then that's not the kind of faith God wants or the kind of life God wants. You see, James concludes in his final verse of this chapter, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead," we can tell when someone is dead because there's no life left in them. The spirit has left. They're dead. In a technical biblical sense, death is the separation of the spirit from the physical body. And so James says when someone dies, there's this separation of the spirit and the body. And he says that's the same with this, that a faith apart from works is dead. That if you have faith but you do not have a lived obedience to God, lived good works out of love, then you have a lifeless faith. Your faith is dead. You have a dead faith. And so I ask you, are you the opponent or are you James? Are you the opponent or are you James? You see, the opponent focuses just on faith, just on works, views them as separate. But James says faith inspires works of love. That you want to serve people and help people tomorrow at work because of your faith. That you're willing to submit to repentance and baptism as an act of obedience, not because you're working or earning your way to heaven, but you're willing to do that as an act of obedience because of your faith. You see, James says that we need to be willing, chapter 1, 22-27, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We've got to do the word of God. We can't just listen to it. We can't just talk about it. We've got to live it. We've got to do it. James says, like in Mark 14, verse 8, we need to be like Mary, who had anointed Jesus' body for burial, and Jesus remarked about her, "She has done what she could." That's the kind of faith we need to have. A faith that does what we can. Faith that does what we can. That uses the responsibility we have with the talents we've been given to serve and to help others. And so this morning, we ask you, are your faith and your works separate? Or are you doing works and good deeds because of your faith? Are you having an active, living, obedient faith? That's the kind of faith James wants us to have. It's the kind of faith God wants us to have. If you need to respond to Christ this morning, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life and come back to the Lord because your deeds, your works have been away from Christ and away from God, realizing that your faith has to be right for your life to be right. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing.